That chain reaction of the senses is typical of practically every physical problem that we have. We're no longer back at the source of the problem. We're thinking of the side effects, how it affects us, how it hurts, how it's discoloring our skin. These are parts of the chain reaction. And now nothing you do seems to help. You're trying to remove it. But you can't remove the snake because it's only in your mind. And now you've got to convince yourself that all physical disabilities are in the world mind. And the way you prove that to yourself is by knowing that God is the creator and there is no other creator. God is the cause and there is no other cause. God is the source of all that is real and there is no other source. And so instead of trying to remove what is not there because God did not create it, you've got to remove something else. You've got to remove the hypnotic belief that it's there. And, of course, you say it hurts. That's not an illusion. But that is also an illusion. Because the matter is what hurts. And that's an illusion. It comes down to the fact that your hypnotized belief in what you think you have has no cause in God. Perhaps at this point you don't care if it's God who caused it or something else that caused it. All you want to do is get rid of it. But we're talking about pure truth. You cannot get rid of the snake that is not there. You cannot get rid of the arthritis and the pain of arthritis that is not there. Omnipresent spirit is an immutable law. That is all that is there. And until you accept that law, you'll find that you are vulnerable to these physical ailments. You must accept the law that nothing exists beside omnipresent spirit. Until that law is so firmly embedded in your consciousness that instantly you're almost angry with yourself for having harbored such an idea that you could have physical pain or physical problems in a spiritual universe. Half the battle is won with that knowledge. You get rid of pain that way. You don't try to remove the pain. Oh, you can medically. But when you want to do it spiritually, instead of removing the pain, you remove the belief in the existence of the matter that pains you. And that's your human mind. That's what hurts. It hurts because your Christ mind is the only mind you have. The false mind hurts. When you remove the belief in a mind that is not the mind of Christ, you find a change in the pain. There's no pain in the Christ mind, and there's no other mind. The flesh doesn't hurt. The brain is reporting it. Now, these are things you've got to think about. Because that is why when you say, I don't feel or see the power that raises the dead and heals the sick and feeds the hungry, the reasons are that you have accepted and are stuck with certain accumulated beliefs, certain conditioned thoughts that have been in the human race since its inception. And we automatically absorb these beliefs without thought. We simply say it hurts, or I've got this, or I've got that. Instead of realizing that I have nothing of the kind. I am the spirit. The me, the imposter, who wears my clothes and bears my name, he or she has this. And that's illusion on illusion. That's the chain reaction. Triple I. Now, one part of the triple I that you're going to forget about is that the power of God is your very being. I am the power of God. It's not an external power that you borrow for a moment. It's the power of your being. Omnipotence is a power of the Spirit. You are the Spirit. Omnipotence is a power of your being. And when you think the power of God that doesn't show itself to you is strange because you're so willing to see it in action, you're not seeing it in action because you think it's external to you. You think it's something you're going to get from outside. And now you've got to overcome that belief and realize that the power of God is inherent in my spiritual selfhood. And when you know that your selfhood and the power are one, when you know that your selfhood is one with God, who is the power, and therefore your selfhood is one with the power of God, then you're realizing the truth that all that I have is thine. When Spirit tells us to seek ye first the kingdom, every word there is important. Seek ye first the kingdom. The kingdom is spirit. Seek spirit first. And it's right where you are, as you. It's bringing you right back to identity. And that's where the power of God is, in the spirit that you are. When that is realized, I won't say you can walk through fire, although some have, but you'll find it does not come nigh thy dwelling. The flood has a way of parting before it gets to your house. The fire stops before it starts going down your chimney. The bullet doesn't find your brain. The power works in you, as you, and all unlike itself cannot enter to defile or make a lie. You must be the power. You must be the substance. You must be the law. None of this is apart from you. The moment it's apart from you, you're going to have to hunt for it a long time. That thou seest me, thou seest the Father, and all that the Father is, therefore. Now, this can be a great step up if we're getting the lesson that I am the presence of God, the Spirit of God, the perfection of that Spirit, and the power of that Spirit. These are qualities of my being, and I will not hide my light under a bushel. This is who you are. We'll call that the triple I. And any time you don't face a problem with a triple I, you're apt to lose a little section of it, or a large section of it. Now let's take unemployment in a very simple way. Who's unemployed? A boy or a girl? Not the Spirit. Well, we've lost it right there. So let's get rid of the boy and the girl. Who's unemployed? Not the Spirit. Who are you? The Spirit. You're not unemployed. Now all you've got to do is maintain that knowledge. And you'll find that you're really not unemployed. What you know in truth will manifest. Let's go back to Parkinson's. Who has Parkinson's? Not the Spirit. Who are you? The Spirit. Draw that line. Don't see the problem as part of your being. That's where it begins. And of course, if you begin to think of yourself as not a finite human self, you can see the ridiculousness of the things we suffer from. How can the universal being die? How can a universal being have a pain in the arm? How can a universal being be lacking? What can it lack? It is the universe. You think you were thinking in terms of this finite bit of flesh, saying, this is me over here, and this is what I've got. And Lord, let's get past that. It's just too late in our study to be at that level, where we think of ourselves as these little 5x5s. With a blood count, and with corpuscles, and with all of that stuff. Spirit has none of this. Let's not identify ourselves with the things that humans have and then automatically classify ourselves as humans, as mortals. Now, we've got to be past that. Immortals don't have mortal diseases. Immortals don't get measured for a tombstone. Immortals are not lacking or limited. Let's identify properly. You can't be a finite Christ. You can't be a mortal Christ. You can't be a Christ who weighs 183 pounds. You can't even be a male or female Christ. You can't be anything a human is and be the Christ. And the Father says, be perfect as your Father, which means be the Christ. We should be in a place where we don't need much reminder anymore. Well, when we see each other, we not only know who we are, but we know who each other is. That's the least we can do for each other, is to recognize our identity. Not even saying go out and do it to the rest of the world right away, but if you can do it with each other, you'll find you will do it with the rest of the world. The longer you maintain a finite you and a finite mother and father and a finite child and a finite husband and wife, you're literally taking the Bible and putting it in the back seat of the car, and you're not looking at it. There's nothing finite in your Father's kingdom, including you. It's the finite ones who have the problems. You know I'm not criticizing you. That's the last thing on my mind. There's nothing personal at all. What we're doing is getting rid of these mortal hang-ups that keep us earthbound, mortal-bound, death-bound. The more you succeed, the more I'm going to succeed, and vice versa. Every success spiritually affects everyone else. What you do for yourself, you do for the world. What Jesus did became a world crusade. What Enoch did, little did they know, Paul, for example, how far ahead was he thinking? Maybe not any further than his nose. But the influence he left on the world, is it strong today or stronger than when he was alive? You are a potential. You may turn out to be much more than you realize. You may find that the things you do because of things that you are learning will affect vast numbers of human beings. Play a large role in a transformation that is now taking place on this earth. Because we have no way of knowing how, when we brush away the cobwebs of humanity, we have no way of learning where we will emerge in our spiritual reality. And how that will affect the rest of humanity. How it may act as a beacon for many hundreds of thousands. I'm sure the disciples were never fishing before they met the Christ. Didn't have any plans about being world savers. But now they're quoted. We say Peter did this and John did that. And the people who copy them and follow them are legion. There's no way to count them. Basically, we all want to be a good influence in this world. And the way to do it is to be that living spirit. I think I want to go over the triple I once more. It may be tedious, but it's important. Well, I guess we don't want to talk about cancer, but I want to show you just how important it is. I don't know if there are 5 million cases or roughly, maybe that at least. Each one of them can benefit by what you do in this classroom. We're going to put it down as one of the great hypnotic diseases in our world. We completely exonerate the Spirit of God. God had nothing to do with it. John told us right at the beginning God created everything, and what God didn't create was not created. Here we're dealing with a non-creation. Jesus dealt with lepers, a non-creation. The only ones who weren't healed were those who couldn't believe. Suppose there had been many AIDS cases in biblical times. What would he have done? We saw what he did with the adulteress. He didn't recognize her for what she appeared to be. Would he have recognized an AIDS case for what it appeared to be? Would he have recognized a cancer case for what it appears to be? You know the answer now. He would recognize the automatic hypnosis of the world mind feeding its hypnosis into the individual mind. The individual mind then accepts the hypnosis and manifests its belief subconsciously into the body. But the very body in which it manifests is already an expression of the world mind. Is already a non-creation of the Father. So on top of the illusion of body, it now manifests an illusion of a problem in the body that is not of the Father. I guess you could find 10 illusions in there if you wanted to go in and examine every little cell. Every cell an illusion. The bloodstream an illusion. The heartbeat an illusion. There isn't anything in the body that's not an illusion. But right where the illusion appears, and which we accept, there is an invisible reality. Perfect, as the Father. And that's who we are. We are that invisible reality. The world isn't filled with nothing. It's filled with the Spirit of God, misperceived by the human mind. And in that misperception, we heap misperception upon misperception. Until we become sufficiently enlightened, spiritually conscious, to hold our human thought, which is magnifying these illusions. And allow the silence of our human thought to invite the divine thought. And when divine thought comes through you in the silence of your human thought, it overshadows the thought illusions, the thought images of the world mind in you, and replaces them with soul images. And in the new soul image of you, there is no pain. There is no error. There is no blemish. There's no arthritis. There's no Parkinson. There's only the pure Spirit of God. The soul image restores your wholeness so that you can become aware of it, and even your senses then report the perfection of your being. Now, Peter had very little knowledge of healing. As you know, he muddled through many cases. He was even indignant. Once he said to Christ Jesus, "How come you taught me what you knew? I went out and did it, and it didn't work." Of course, he hadn't precisely learned the lesson of what he had been taught. He didn't do what he had been told. He saw an epileptic where there wasn't any. And so he couldn't heal that epileptic. And then Jesus replaced him, and not seeing an epileptic, dissolved the condition. But Peter learned, that's the point. He wasn't always impulsive. When he stepped out of prison, it's because he had achieved that incorporeal nature of himself. He became a healer. If it were possible for us to identify each other as living spirit, silently, and crawl out of this egotism which keeps us confined to me, so I don't really care about him or her, not enough to perceive him or her as he or she is. If we could come out of that form of egotism, out of that form of apathy, and look at an individual in such a way that within ourselves, we're doing what Paul said. Greet each man or woman with a holy kiss, meaning know who they are. Identify them before you see them, so that when you see them, you're identifying them properly. When you identify another as spirit, you are solidifying your knowledge that you are spirit. It's just the same as when you judge another to be evil, you are making yourself vulnerable to evil. When you know another to be spirit, that which you measure out to the other is meted back to you. You are really judging yourself to be spirit. And so every time you take the time to pause, to focus on the truth, rather than just follow this way we greet each other, hi Joe, what's new, and that sort of thing, but first know who that individual is. And you change the whole relationship. You change yourself, you change that individual. And then before you know it, you have lifted that individual and yourself just by the simple process of identifying him and yourself correctly. And you'll find there's less diseases, less pains, less unemployment, less of the double type of experience, the double-mindedness. We have to purify not just our own self, but the way we look at others. In fact, I often think that the way we look at others is probably what determines the way we think of ourselves. If we could look at others the right way, we'd start to think of ourselves the right way, too. It takes a little extra effort, but it's worth it. I wonder if we have time for another meditation. Let's go back to, as a preliminary to this meditation, let's go back to the Christ statement, I am the vine. Now, when you're identifying a problem and you are not aware of the presence of Christ as your mind, which is the reason you're identifying a problem, then you're separated from the vine. What was necessary was, in order to look at that problem from the Christ viewpoint, you had to be conscious that the Christ mind is the only mind you will acknowledge. It never sees any imperfection. The moment you see imperfection, you're out of it. The moment you see imperfection but identify the perfection that is invisible, even though you're doing it on faith and not your actual vision, you're in the Christ mind, or at least trying to be. Now this then brings you into a different level. And we should be in that level so that the world ills, the world ailments, bounce off our Christ mind. And I cannot accept your ailments or my own with my Christ mind. That puts you way ahead. You know that they're not there. You know that they're there only in the mind that is separated from the Christ mind. That's where they are. So you've got to remember to look at chapter 15 in John. I am the vine. I didn't read it all to you last night. And I think it will pay everyone here to fine-comb that chapter. to the point that when you're finished with it, you have determined to check yourself carefully against the truths that are suggested there to see if you're complying. And then when you finally are complying, to look at the world around you with that Christ mind, which is the single eye, and notice that you automatically tune out the so-called evils. You tune out the judgments. You even look at the thief, and you can't accept that. You look at the man, as Christ said, who wants your coat, and you say, "Here, take my cloak." You're into a new perspective on what's out there. With the Christ mind, you are no longer a mere mortal. You're now a channel for divine thought. And divine thought has nothing wrong with it. It doesn't have a sick body. Doesn't have any problems. It does everything according to the will of God, automatically. That's where we want to be. In that Christ mind, which is funneling to us the thoughts of God and the substance of God. Because that's how we're going to move up to the next dimension. Now let's see if we can meditate with a Christ mind, not a human mind. A mind that sees no evil, has no belief in evil, sees no matter, has no belief in matter, only accepts the pure life essence of God. We have no ailments to heal at the moment. We are accepting the pure life essence of God, which is everywhere. That sore foot you felt this morning, you don't have it now. That pain in the shoulder, it isn't there. That was in your human mind. And you know your spirit has all that the Father has. So it isn't lacking, it isn't limited, it isn't unemployed, and you won't make that mistake. You're in the Christ mind, which accepts the word of the Father. While you're meditating, you have no idea what Spirit is planning for you. But it's bound to be wonderful. It's always planning something wonderful. It's always saying to you, "Let me love you. Don't shut me out." Release that person you say is causing your problems. Release him. My spirit is all that is there Don't look at that illusion. Everywhere is my spirit. Everywhere is my perfection. Everywhere my power is maintaining that perfection. Live in my universe. Live in the finished kingdom of the Father. Be my son. You can invite the world into your universe because it's perfect. Everything the Father has is in your universe, and that's all you will find there. There's no one there to be healed. All have been healed. All are children of God. That's what you have to offer this world, an opportunity for the world to walk into your universe, your perfect universe, your perfect consciousness. You are the presence of spirit everywhere, without boundary. You are the perfection of spirit everywhere. You are the power of spirit everywhere. And nothing can change that. I think it's time to say Happy Easter to you. And when we see you, it will be Easter. Thanks again.